What's happening, family?
What's going on?
Welcome back to another episode of
Is This Gonna Cause an Argument?
I'm your host, Marcus Tanksley, a.k.a. Tank, and my co-host,
Angel. That's what they call me. They call me Angel. Yeah. It's just not my name. It's just not the fame. It's not all the same as Angel. Ooh, yeah. Yeah, and we are a married couple of 19 years. We've been doing this podcast for 10 years, sometimes very successfully, sometimes not as successfully, but we do it because we enjoy it. And we don't just enjoy it because we get to work together. And this is a part of the core of our partnership as a couple that works together. But we also get to do this weekly with our Patreon. Give it up for our Patreon. Yeah, we have affectionately named our Patreon our immediate family. Why have we done that? You see, my son Kai is working the cameras right now, and he's been listening to me talking, didn't switch the cameras. We're going to work with him. Anyways, we've affectionately named our Patreon immediate family. Why? Because we don't really like to call our supporters fans. They're not fanatics. These are people who support us and care about us. For the most part, we might have some crazy folk, but for the most part, there are people who care about us and support us. So we call them fam, not fans, but fam, because they're kind of like our family, you know, parasocially. Our immediate family are those people in Patreon who said, I'm not just going to say I support you. I'm not just going to give you a comment here or there or a like. We're also going to financially pour into your business. So for the low of $5 a month, which I think equates to like 31 cents a day, they get our content in real time. So they're watching us film this live every Monday when we're actually on schedule. They also get to see two episodes of Here's the Thing filmed live, as well as a live with my husband every Wednesday. And they'll get a discount on our merchandise. They get early drops on tickets. So you too, if you decide, you know what, I want to go from fam to immediate family, can join our Patreon at www.patreon.com/thatchickangel for low $5. You can come join us. And baby, why don't you tell the people about our sponsors?
Our sponsor today is Hungry Root. Look, y'all, this is how this works. When we have a sponsor, we try that product. And if we have a sponsor that is a product that you already use, we ask that you try to use that product. Or if you introduce something new, give it a try. Because when we have these sponsors, they help us pay for these lights and these cameras and everything else that we got going on. And they help keep this thing going on top of the wonderful Patreon. So, you'll hear more about them later on in the show.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I could be doing a little better. I'm doing good. Me and Marcus, we worked on his car yesterday.
Did you see his Instagram story?
No.
I'll show it to you.
I ain't been on Instagram. We worked on his car.
Oh, that would have been good content.
I got footage. We were bent over that hood of that car for about 3.5 to 4 hours. So both of our lower backs are bothering us. My hands and forearms are cut up and gashed up and bruised up, but that's just what comes along with working on a car.
I'm going to show you.
Yeah, but I'm doing good. I'm glad he got a chance to see all that stuff. I asked him if he learned anything. He was like, yeah. So I didn't do everything. I made him, like, once he saw what was going on, I was like, then you do the rest. It's just a good learning experience. I said, that's how you learn. You get your first car. It's a little shitty car. That's how you learn to work on cars. That's how you get mechanically inclined.
That's what it's.
Damn.
That's his. And I don't know what the, let me see what the.
It just says, damn. It's a picture of me over and over with my hand down in the engine.
That's the sound. Oh my God. Wait a minute, does it play more? Because no telling. This might be a real song and I don't know nothing about it. Is the beat about to drop? Boom.
Should be. Somebody gonna do it.
I said, wait a minute. What is this?
But yeah, we did all that and still didn't figure. Yeah, I spent $500 in parts on this car, and we still ain't figured out the problem. Jesus. It's still, but we did some much needed maintenance on the car. So, but yeah, how about you? How you feeling?
I am feeling good. You can put it on both of us right now, Kai. I'm doing good. I feel like I'm working through the end of being sick. Still got a lot of mucus that I'm like flushing out, but you know, feeling a lot better. Plan on working out today. This will be my second workout of the summer. Of 2026.
2026, all right.
I'm mad because I had all intentions of coming home last night and getting directly in the bed. But then when I got that headache on the way home, I was like, well, I want to be near Marcus while I have this headache just in case it gets worse, that I'm not having to try to scream downstairs for help. So that's literally the only reason why I got on the couch, because I was like, my head is hurting. I don't feel comfortable with this. So let me be near my husband just in case this goes continually gets worse and turns into something else. Because I wanted to get up at 6, work out, get myself ready, all that stuff. But that's okay. I'm still going to work out. Not going to let the night not ending properly stop me, derail me from doing what I want to do today. So, yeah. I'm feeling good. Yeah. I'm feeling good. Let's get into our first topic, which is in my feelings. We did in my feelings last week, but let's do it again.
Okay.
You cool with that, or do you want to do Tank Sleep Ride?
No, we can do in my feelings.
Let's do Tank Sleep Ride. You know why? Because I got a good one.
All right, well, go ahead.
You got a good one?
Go ahead and kick it off.
You got a good one?
Nah, but I'll come up with something. Go ahead and kick it out.
All right. Tank Sleep Pride is a segment that we do where we talk about our sons. We have 4 gorgeous sons. I mean, I don't know why God wanted us to be the luckiest people in the world, because we do have 4 amazing boys. Amar, who's 7, Kai and Sai, who are 11, and Marcus, who is 16, about to be 17 in 2 weeks. My Tank Sleep Ride story has to do with my youngest, Amar. I had the opportunity to take him to a screening for Paw Patrol, the Dino movie. Due to my own undiagnosed neurodivergency and not doing what I was supposed to do, took him a day early. Took him and Aiden a day early. I was like, well, this was a dress rehearsal. Went all the way down to Paramount Studios, was dressed, looked really pretty, put on makeup, and ain't nobody there, okay? I was like, God, dog. I said, okay, boys, well, unfortunately, I came here the wrong day, but let's go get ice cream. Aiden was like, Menchie's is pretty good. My Menchie's is great. He was like, but you know what? We should try a different place. And I said, okay. So I'm trying to find ice cream. I realized there's a Ben and Jerry's in the Sherman Oaks Mall. So we go to the Sherman Oaks Mall. And, you know, I let them get the top of the line ice cream. You want something on top of your ice cream? You don't even got to get a regular cone. You want a regular cup. I'm going to let you get the cone. And Kai can attest, I never let them get any type of cone. Right.
Nah, you don't get no cones around us.
It goes in a cup.
You get that spoon and be clean.
But this, they have the cone cup. So it's a cone that sits in the cup. It's like the shape of the cup.
Yeah.
And it sits, so I let them get that. For 3 of us, it was $40 to get ice cream. That's to let you know how
Lord.
I let them go in on the ice cream. Anyways, so I'm sitting in the mall with these 2 boys, with a little 6-year-old and a little 7-year-old. And so I was like, okay, let's converse. And I said, Aiden, if you could have a superpower, what would it be? And he says, water. And I said, okay, so is it that you can manipulate water or you can become water? He's like, I'd be able to become water. And I said, okay, that's pretty cool. You know, it's the life source. So, hey, there's some power.
That's
there.
Always been mine.
Well, I said, Amar, what? And I got 2 quick Tank surprise stories, but I'm finishing this one. What would your superpower be? He said, love. And I said, well, what would you do with love? He said, I would bear hug people and make them feel good. And I thought to myself, you could not be on my Avenger team. Because what are we going to do?
Oh, my goodness. The summer has completely changed how we are eating. Our food is all over the place. We've been traveling. And let me tell you what, I hate spending a bunch of time trying to figure out what to eat or what I want to feed my family every week. It's the least, like my least favorite activity is spending time trying to figure that out. Like, it makes me mad. Well, one of the things that I love about Hungry Root that I think you might love is that they have things like anti-inflammatory, like, meals that you can have. I know some of you all might know that I have alopecia areata, and one of the ways that I'm able to like give myself a fighting chance to combat this autoimmune disease is by eating inflammatory foods and having an inflammatory diet. And I love that I can build my orders in Hungry Root around that. Like, isn't that dope? Like, I know we just be thinking about, oh, I'm hungry. What do I need to eat? But you can actually set your Hungry Root order to what some of your goals are that might not even actually have to do directly with, like, your what you want to eat in a day, right? So let me tell you, Hungry Root is getting so much more personalized, okay? So it is able to learn your tastes, your dietary needs, all of that over time so that it can like refine what you want to eat. So that's what you're getting. It's refining so that what you get is what you actually want. If that makes sense, y'all get what I'm saying. They have over 50,000 chef crafted recipes and over 1,000 grocery items and a variety never gets old. Many recipes are ready in 15 minutes. And there's always something new to try, so you don't get burnt out. Don't you love that? They also screen out over 200 additives, like high fructose corn syrup, artificial sweeteners, and preservatives. And they got high-quality meat and seafood. No hormones, no antibiotics, okay? Because quality standard is not something we about to let slip over here at Hungry Root, all right? So you know what to expect. We absolutely love Hungry Root. We love that it takes care of grocery shopping and meal planning. And I know you will love it too, okay? You're going to be able to be more consistent about what you eat and not feel like you're wasting. And you're going to get back into a good routine after the summer ends. Or well, just start now, all right? So, you would, regardless of what you want, like if you want to do more anti-inflammatory like myself, you can get that at Hungry Root. You're going to love Hungry Root as much as I do. For a limited time, get 40% off your first order, plus get a free item in every box for life. Go to hungryroot.com/argue and use code argue. That's hungryroot.com/argue, code argue, to get 40% off your first box and a free item of your choice for life. Thank you, Hungry Root, for sponsoring today's episode. Now I'm back at it.
That's what you gonna do. He's gonna be able to walk up to the enemy, put it on both guys, walk up to the enemy and just hug them. They're gonna be forgetting that they trying to attack you.
No,
and that's when everybody else jump in and kill them. That's a good tactic.
They're gonna
right
love
there.
That they are attacking you. They're gonna be like, this is so great.
It's like, what's that old girl in the Wolverine movie? You know, when she touch you, uh-huh. She manipulate you, he's just going to hug you. He's just be like, oh, pat, pat, pat.
I'm like, when did my baby become, he's become more and more like, he's very lovey-dovey. Mm-hmm. So fast forward to the day that we actually go to the Paw Patrol thing. They are able to fish for plushies. And I'm trying to make sure they get their plushie. Like, I'm trying to make sure they get everything they want. Mm-hmm. Because I know these parents are going to be ruthless and these kids are going to be ruthless. He gets a plushie. It's not one of the more popular Paw Patrol people. And I'm realizing that after the fact. I was like, dang it. I let him get this one. He could have got one of the more popular ones.
Yeah.
We're leaving now. The movie's over. We're leaving. We're walking behind a family. All of a sudden, I look down and there is a Paw Patrol Marshall plushie. Marshall was the lead of this movie.
One, yeah.
He's a firefighter. So I pick it up and I put it. I have stuff I have in my hand, like papers, and I put it and I'm holding it and I'm walking. We get to the elevator. We're walking. We're now to the parking garage. I sigh. Amari's looking at the people because they have a stroller. They have a child. They have a child in the stroller and it's mom and dad. He's looking and then he turns around and looks at me And I was like, up the steps, right? Because they're waiting for elevator. And Amar said, I think that plushie belongs to those people. I said, we don't know that. He said, but we should ask them. And I said, are they still at the elevator? And he was like, he looked down. He's like, no. And I said, it was on the ground. How do you know it belonged to them? He said, I think it fell out of their stroller.
Horrible ass woman right here. I said, got your child trying to do the right thing and be innocent. She just stripping it from him.
No. So we walk up to the third floor. They get off the elevator at the third floor. And I say, excuse me, did your baby in the stroller? Because I see their other child has their plushie. Mm-hmm. The baby.
Was it a Marshall?
No. She had
be like, you only need one.
Right. The older girl has, and to be completely honest, I don't know where it fell. I just saw it on the ground, but there was a good chance it had to been the people ahead of us. So I say, did your baby have a plushie? And they said, yeah. And then they look and they realize that plushie is not there. And I said, was it Marshall? They were like, oh my God, thank you. They were like, that was so nice of you. Thank you so much.
We would have never done that.
I didn't want to crush my baby's pure, innocent heart, but I wanted to be like, boy, had it been your plushie, nobody would have gave you that plushie back. They would have walked off. But he was literally like this. He was like, Amar was looking at me. He was like, and I was like, up the stairs, because I already knew. Up the stairs, boy.
3 years from now, he would have had silver molars. It would have been your fault. No.
So I said, let me give this plushie back. And Mar was like, see? I was like, yep, it was theirs. And I was like, you have no idea yet.
Trying to ruin my baby.
No, I was trying to get his heart ready.
No, let him get there on his own. You don't push him, man. Stay away from my kids.
What if their dad is way worse?
No, I ain't.
Yes, he is.
Make no damn sense.
You know who's actually? You know how I know their dad is way worse? Because I knew his father, and his father would have
a saint. Nathaniel Taxley is a saint.
The way he would have first of all gotten all of them from the jump. Y'all need to keep these. He would have been like, give them all of the plush. Give them the people.
And then me and kids showing up here. Y'all going to take it.
But he definitely wouldn't have given back that plushie off the ground. Absolutely not. He'd be like, no, because they wouldn't have did it for you. So I just was like, I said.
And daddy would have told him, yeah, your baby done dropped this, but some bitches ain't getting it back.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, shoot.
But that's my Takesley Pride story. I meant to tell you that yesterday. I wanted to be like, boy, you have no... Because I was really like, my baby deserve a goddamn on good... One of the main people. Why don't he have a man? I don't even know the name of the one. Kai, you remember the names of the Paw Patrol?
Skylet?
No, Sky.
Sky, Marshall, Rubble. See, I know. And that green one. No, that's
the green one is the one he has. The one that your name you can't remember? There's Chase, who's on the case.
Chase, yeah.
There's a green one who's gray. He's colored gray, but he wears green.
No, that's Rubble. Because he's the dump truck. The bulldog. Yeah, he's a bulldog. He ain't green?
No, I'm talking about a gray dog. Rocky. Yeah, Rocky. Exactly. Don't nobody remember Rocky?
He gray?
Yeah, he's a grayer looking dog.
Yeah.
Cause
Rocky's black. That's why I don't nobody remember him. Y'all ain't know that.
And then, cause Aiden got there's a new Paw Patrol dog who's a handicapped dog. They don't bring up that he's handicapped, but he has the wheels.
Yeah.
That and his name.
He got the dog wheelchair?
Yeah. Yeah, he's got the dog wheelchair. He was the second main person in the story.
I'm laughing at the dogs in the wheelchair, not people, but the dog.
So.
Them dogs be getting around, ain't
they? The new one is, and he was getting around in this movie. He was doing all types of tricks. His name is Rex. So, Aiden got Rex. And Amar got rocky, and it was so funny. I pushed him into the ball pit. I said, get Amar over here trying to grab balls out of the ball pit. I said, you got to get the plushie. The way I knocked him over into that thing, I'm pushed Aiden. I said, Aiden, move. You done got your plushie. Now let the boy get his plushie. I pushed. They said, oh. I said, get the plushie so we can get the rest of this stuff. They had a good time.
You're going to talk about me taking him to a theme park, and here you are. Trying to take my child's innocence and throwing him into the ball pits and stuff. That don't make no damn sense.
I'm trying to get content and watch two kids. Aiden, bless his hungry heart. I was like, the woman who invited me, the publicist who invited me, she was like, I can stand in line with them because Aiden said, I want to get my face painted. Amar was like, I don't. And I said, okay, we'll still do. And then she said, you know, you can get your hand painted too, Amar. And he was like, oh, okay, I'll do that. Mm. And she said, I can stand in line with them if you want to get anything. I said, I want to grab them food so that we're not worried about that. So she's telling me what the food is. Aiden was like, I want a burger with the stick in it. And that was his main thing. And I was like, Amar, do you want grilled cheese or chicken nuggets? He was like, I'll take chicken nuggets. So there's a person with a tray carrying around the dino nuggets. And it was a guy who actually recognized me. He was like, that chick Angel? And I was like, yeah. His name was Justin. And I grabbed the chicken nuggets. We have a little conversation. I take the chicken nuggets over and hand them to Amar because I'm about to go back to get the burgers. Aiden puts his big old fat little fingers up in there and starts eating. I was like, huh. I said, I thought you would. That's fine. Go to get him a burger. And now I have myself some chicken nuggets. And I have ketchup on there. He takes the chicken nugget that's in his mouth, dips it into.
You know what, boy? Here.
My ketchup. My ketchup. I said, Aiden, what are you doing, babe? I said, here, take this burger, okay? And then I had a little cup of vegetables that were in hummus. He said, oh, can I? And takes this chicken nugget that he's still chewing on. Can I dip it in that? I said, Aiden, no, you don't get any of the dips because you already put that in your mouth.
Yeah, when Aiden's at the house, when he asks for food or snacks, I give him one thing at a time because I already learned. I learned this was it last year, I think? He was the last time. I was like, you finish eating this.
Yes.
At your birthday party, I seen a whole thing. It was the biggest slice of cake on a plate. I knew it had to be Aiden. I didn't know if he asked for the cake, but I walked in there, all the kids was playing. I said, hey, whose cake is this? He's like, mine. I said, come here.
You go eat the rest of
it. Sit down and you eat. It wasn't a single bite taken out of. I said, like, eat this cake.
He said,
don't
you
get up until it's gone.
He said,
okay, he still didn't. By the time they left, that damn cake was still sitting on the table.
Of course not. But I was laughing. I was like, I was literally going to get you what you asked for. He's like, and I'll eat everything in between. You keep on grabbing the stuff. But when he dipped that thing into my catch, I said, Aiden, no, you have a burger. Eat that burger. Leave these chicken nuggets alone.
I'm like, Dad, all belongs to you.
Yes, pretty much. It did. But it was a great event. Aiden and Amar had a great time. Aiden is just so funny to me. He's such a funny kid. His observations are hilarious. And Amar said that it's his best friend. Last thing, and please take over. There's a song that when Amar was with Aiden the day before, because I let him stay over at Denora's house, there was a song they introduced them to called Friend Like You. It's from, I think, Teen Titans Go soundtrack. And it talks about, you're my brother, you're my homie, you're my and you're my brother from another mother. And it talks about how much he's like, the song talks about how much the guy loves this dude that's his homie. He's like, I'm not afraid to say that I love you. I got your back like a chiropractor. Like, it's a real. Mm-hmm. And Denora told me that Amar was like, can you play that song again? And he did. He was like, if I sang the song to somebody, I'd sing it to Aiden. That's what he said in the car. And then he told me that yesterday because he asked me to play it. Mm. He said, I would sing this song to Aiden. I said, is Aiden your best friend? He was like, yeah.
Yeah, he going to remember a song.
I said, he's gotten so lovey-dovey.
Yeah.
In this, I like this age
of
7.
That he wanted a big party with a lot of people.
Yeah.
Just to not talk to him.
I said, when you start liking people.
Yeah. So my Tanksy Pride story, I already hit on it a little bit. Excuse me. Working on this car with my oldest son. It was, I'm glad he got to experience that. And I was happy to see some of the, just a little bit of the mechanical inclination that he does have. Mm-hmm. Like we were putting out some of the gaskets and he came up with a better way. And I was just like, I told him, I was like, I'm really proud of you for thinking of that. Mm-hmm. I said, that's dope. He was like, thank you. But seeing him, like letting him see the inside of an engine, a lot of people don't get to experience that. I was telling him, like, these are the camshafts and everything. But the one thing is going through all of that work, doing all that, and there's nothing more, I can't think of a lot of things more rewarding than working on a car and fixing the issue. But there's also nothing more devastating than working on a car and not, when they started that thing up, I said, rev the engine. And it was doing the same thing. I wanted to put my foot through the engine. But also him experiencing that, just like, we ain't going to figure this out every time, but we still going to figure it out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But when we were done, I told him, I said, now you realize that you have done more mechanically wise to a car than probably most of the men that you know in your life. Mm-hmm. I was like, you realize that? He was like, no. I was like, yeah, you can probably count them on one hand, the amount of men that's ever done anything, maybe change a tire. None of them has probably ever changed the oil. I said, you know, of course he knows a few, me, his Uncle BJ, Uncle Pete. I said, but yeah, none of the men, I said, this is actually a big step, like to be able to do something like this. And now you understand what we were actually doing. Like you seen the spark plug, you took the spark plugs out, the ignition coils, you swapped those out. I said, all that stuff fires into the engine to make the engine turn. I was like, being able to see this and remember, this is no different from most other engines. I said, they're all like this. The way they're configured in the car may change. I said, this is in here sideways. I said, it goes in a row. Mm-hmm. And just explaining all this stuff to him. And I was like, so did you learn? He was like, yeah, I did. I learned a lot. I was like, good. But yeah, seeing him, just being able to do that, that's one of the, I know I talk to Angel all the time. It's like, it's weird. It's kind of surreal watching my kids, watching my kids develop the memories and have these memories. I was like, this is something that's going to be remembered. Like, and it's like, I can't, it's hard. It's weird. Cause it's hard to differentiate the stuff that memories that I have with my parents. This is like, oh yeah, that one time we did this. I'm like that. I can see them having that memory as an adult. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's my tank surprise story.
He is no longer shying away from responsibilities outside of his family responsibilities. Yeah. Like, I think he's been completely fine being responsible for his brothers. I think he actually enjoys being the responsible party for his brothers. But outside responsibilities, Marcus, I feel like, has always shied away from. He'll do it if requested, but not, it's not like his natural inclination. He had his first real regional teen executive board meeting for his position as regional secretary for Jack and Jill for the Far West. And they were on that meeting from 7:30 p.m. to 1:30 a.m.
Yeah. And for me as a grown man, I would have tapped out.
Yeah. And I can tell, even though that meeting was long and it was not what he was expecting, he enjoyed it. He enjoyed it.
Because asking him about it, he was like, well, you know, this happened and that happened. I was like, oh, you was all in this meeting.
Because it was productive. The long meetings that, like, you feel like you're talking in circles and, like, you're talking about stuff that I want to slam my head into something.
I don't know if that's my isms taking over, but just hearing people talk in circles, especially in a long meeting, is almost physically agonizing for me. I'm like, either we gonna move forward or I'm leaving.
And so me asking him, like, oh, okay, so what did y'all handle? Da 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 da. And he was like, oh, because he came down the next day tired. And I said, did you not take a nap? He was like, I was about to. Then I realized I hadn't turned in my report. And I was like, you mean your minutes? He was like, no. The minutes are different than my report. My report, I have to report out this, 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 and this. In my minutes, I would, you know, say what happened in the meeting. I said, okay. You get your reporting? He was like, yeah. But yesterday I asked him, I said, so you enjoying this job, ain't you? He was like, yeah. I said, okay. So I think even with him working on the car with you, I think there is something that has clicked with him that having more responsibilities does not necessarily have to be looked at in a negative way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And so, he knew, because like, this is his car. I'm like, I'm not doing this and you not.
Right, of course.
Like, it won't get, as far as I'm concerned, that if we can get that damn thing towed away, you'd be sitting at the house like, I'm going to work on this car. You're going to work on it with me. But yeah, I told him, because I got some new headlights for it so he can actually project light down the road and not just candlelight glow. And so he was eager to put the coolant in and put the headlight. I was like, you can go ahead and put the coolant in. We're going to hold off on these expensive ass headlights, because I'm thinking, if we can't fix his car, we're going to take him headlights back.
No, okay. Jesus. Jesus be offended. Because
that thing, the headlights on that thing, y'all, it's a 2017 Hyundai Sonata. Anyway, yeah. Him.
Okay, so I don't think I'll be able to find the thread. Well, maybe I can. There was a first of all, shout out to my homegirl, Brisha Webb, my sis.
Oh, yeah.
She, her comedy special on Hulu is coming out this week. Actually, it'll be out, I think, the day that our episode airs. So right after you watch our episode, go watch her episode on LOL on Hulu. It's a 30-minute comedy special. And
good thing we went to go see live.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's amazing. She did such a great job. Super proud of her. And then she did a Watch What Happens Live episode with Andy Cohen right after the season finale of The Real Housewives of Atlanta. She was on there with Kay Michelle. And she definitely is. We were laughing last night because she became a character on the episode. Like, she wasn't just regular Brisha. She had about 50 pounds of hair on her head. Like 50 pounds of hair. Because her stylists were like, Kay Michelle is going to come out there with 100 pounds of hair on her head. So you're going to have a whole lot of hair, or you're going to look like a social studies teacher. So when Brisha hit the camera.
I seen her social media. I was like, now what's going on? But I ain't think nothing of it.
When I tell you... I said, Brisha, all this hair. She's like, abso-freaking-lutely. Anyways, shout out to her. Check it out if you haven't already. And you're going to love it. You're going to love not only her Watch What Happens Live episode, but her special. Okay, so I am trying to find. Okay, I think I found it. Okay. I don't think I have. Okay. This is our kind of like our TikTok o'clock. Here we go. This one white lady, why she would do this to herself, I don't know. You can put it on me, Kai. Oh, it is on me. Thank you. She says, preteen girls are going to be the death of me. Beg me for a sleepover. Finally caved to get a call at 3 a.m. just for my sweet, I think she meant girl, to be hyperventilating. Loves that she knows she can call me. Love that she asked for me to come get her. But it's not happening tonight. Tonight, we have natural consequences of you wanting to be somewhere. Now you got to stay there because you're safe. I'm not cut out for a single, to single parent this child. Okay. So, obviously, this woman is getting dragged for her post. And I will say it is on her because she left out a lot of context. So people infuse and infer all types of things. And me and Marcus already kind of talked about this. So I already know where he stands. But I'm going to, again, read what she says so that people can understand what she's saying the situation is and not what they think the situation could be. She said, preteen girls are going to be the death of me. Beg me for a sleepover, finally caved to get a call at 3 a.m. just for my sweet girl to be hyperventilating. Love that she knows she can call me. Love that she asked me
love that she asked for me to get her. But it's not happening tonight. Tonight, we have natural consequences of you wanting to be somewhere. Now you got to stay there because you're safe. I'm not cut out to single parent this child. So, Wendy from our Patreon asked, do we agree with each other? And what makes this podcast so hard is, even though we argue a lot of times we do agree with each other. And on this, we do.
We 100% agree with each other. So Angel, she brought it up because she was talking about the point of view of the people that she was around. And one of those people does not have children. But the reason, like, if I'm in her shoes, like, because what I'm reading from that is this child has been begging to have a sleepover. Mm-hmm. I'm reading exactly what she put, basically. This child has been begging to have a sleepover. Now that she's at the sleepover, she just don't want to be there anymore. The fact that she's safe, meaning she could be with family that she's feel comfortable with. She could be with her sister. She's with people that this woman trusts. The fact that she never let her have a sleepover until this moment, till this girl beat it out of her.
So of course, beat it out of her.
Yeah. So of course, she's gonna make sure that her daughter's safe because she's kept her safe this long because she didn't let her have sleepovers to begin with. Stay over nobody's house. So the fact that this girl done woke up and was like hyperventilating, talking about she don't want to be there no more. You keep your ass there. That's what you asked for. So you gonna stick through it. I get you in the morning and don't ask me to do this bullshit no more. Yeah. Like, and like, cause me and Angel were talking and she was just saying, you know, how dramatic little girls can be. Not even little girls, but kids period. But like I've been in situations like with our kids, they will want something. They will beg for something. Then you give it to them. And it's just like the twins, especially even Amara, they'd be like, oh, I want to go to the car show. I want to go to a car show with you. I take them to a car show. They're ready to leave 15 minutes in. We're not leaving. You wanted to come with me. This is my all day activity. Guess how long we're going to be here? All damn day. Because I'm not adjusting my schedule for something that you thought you wanted. Even though I didn't want you to come because I knew this is what was going to happen.
So Wendy asked, will we go get the boys? No. And let me, and again, I'm going off of she's saying because you're safe. So I am going to assume she assessed whatever the situation is, meaning when talking to her daughter to know her daughter is safe. I don't mean this. Because obviously what everybody goes to immediately is they could be getting touched. They could be getting harmed.
Right.
I am saying if her daughter is actually safe, based off of what she said, her daughter's not saying, such and such touch me. Yeah. The boys are looking at me weird. I'm not talking about anything like that. Because I think what people don't, I have learned, let me put it this way. Working with teenagers and working with teenage girls specifically, I'm referring to girls in today and age, because the girls are different than what most of our Patreon grew up in and what we grew up in, right? I have watched girls crash out over the most minute things in be like, mom, dad, come get me. And when I say minute, I mean minute. I'm assuming this woman knows her daughter.
Right.
That's what I'm going to assume. The difference between us and our kids versus her is that our kids are not overly emotional.
Yeah.
So if my child is losing it at 3 a.m., that means they aren't safe.
Right.
Do you get what I'm saying? My child is not going to call me at 3 a.m. and there's nothing happening to them.
Right. If our kids let us know or they're upset about them disagreeing with their friend or, you know, somebody said something to hurt my feelings or they were playing too rough and I got hurt. They let us know that when we pick them up. Not calling us saying I need to leave. Now, if one of our kids called us and was like, I really have to go. We gonna know something's up because that's not the characteristics of our children.
Yeah, so
I'm gonna know 100,000% they're not safe, or something's being done to make them feel unsafe, which most likely means that they are not safe.
Right. So the situation I brought up is, and I'm gonna try to make it kind of vague, so not to put somebody's business out there. I was chaperoning an event. Something happened where the young lady was super embarrassed. Now, what happened was not super embarrassing. Yeah, what happened was like uncomfortable. Let's put it like this. Say it was a child who performed in a talent show and they cracked on a couple of notes, right? And mm-hmm. they're performing in front of a bunch of kids. I watched this young lady crash out, call her parent and say, "You have to come get me now." Now, we're not anywhere in the same city. This is going to be a lot for the parent. The parent could drive, but it was going to be a lot. And I'm talking about, this is the crash out of a lifetime. I had never seen anything like it. I'm talking about kicking, screaming. And this is a teenage girl, like 14 years old, losing her shit. And her mother said, "I'm not coming to get you." She's like, I can't do it.
Not because you were embarrassed. Like...
Because
not that level of it, you know what I'm saying?
Because yeah. what she knew was that her daughter was safe, right? Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. She knew the adults that were with her were not going to let anything happen to her. She also knew that while her daughter was unhappy with the situation, that her daughter was going to be okay. And that, like, this moment was going to pass and she was going to be better for it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm saying is, when I read the post in the mother saying she's not getting up, I don't assume that the mother doesn't care about right. her child. I'm assuming the mother knows her child so much that she knows yeah. her daughter would have that type of crash out at 3 a.m. over something that wasn't actually insurmountable, but is willing to use her emotional outburst as a way to manipulate yeah. the parent into coming to get them.
Yeah, I got two things. Like Michelle Hill, in the our family in the Patreon said, "My brother went to a sleepover, then called my dad to pick him up. My father went to get him. And by the time they got there, the boys worked it out." That's that bullshit. Because now I'm whooping your ass and you got to leave. But that's like parents be knowing their kids and like, this is the other thing I hate about like her posting something like this on the internet. People are stupid. Mm. And the reason I say it is the comprehension is at an all-time low because everybody can just literally put their thoughts and feelings in a post that you put up and not read into it. They won't read a single word of what you're saying. They're just going to take whatever they read. Their brain is going to scramble it up and then they're just going to regurgitate some shit that they saw from a 60 minutes piece or whatever and completely forget about anything that you actually wrote down. That's why you can't post stuff like this. Like me and Angel did an episode talking about Marcus's experiences and his dating and everything. We will never do that again because people are stupid. They don't listen. They think they know our children better than us. This woman put up this post. She know we're coming from, we know what kind of parents we are. If we hear another parent talking, we're going to assume that they're just as good of a parent and care about their feelings because again, you're safe. We, like Angel brought up situation. We had one of our homegirl's daughters sleeping over at our house because her mom was busy. Mm-hmm. The baby got up at 1 a.m. crying, wanted to go home. No, we're not pulling your mom away from a job to put food in your mouth just because you want to go home. Is anything wrong? No, I just want to go home. You go get you some water. You go lay your ass back down.
Yeah.
We're not going to ruin your mom's opportunity just because you just all of a sudden don't want to be here.
And now,
she probably got the mama that'll be like, "Okay, baby, I'm going to come get you."
And that's the reason why I was like, I'm not about to call your mama. I know you're okay. And I know you miss your mom and you should miss your mom because your mom is a great mom and that's your favorite yeah. person. But in this moment, your feelings are not going to take priority over your mama got to handle what she got to handle. She will be here before you wake up in the morning.
Yeah. And we're going to let your mama know, "Hey, she was crying and wanted to come home. Thank you for not calling me because I would have come." You're
yeah.
damn right.
Yeah.
You idiot. <It's> like
So in this instance, I just, because I'm not going to put the same thoughts into the thing because I see because you're safe. I'm not going to add my own judge.
Yeah, people turn. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to assume the mother has enough information to be able to make that statement. You're safe versus, well, you don't know. Well, no. I'm going to go off of what she gave us. And if she says because you're safe, I'm going to assume that she realizes that she knows why her daughter is hyperventilating. Right. And she does not feel like that what she's hyperventilating about is warranting getting up, driving to her child.
Right.
She's not like, well, yeah, they jumped her, but this is the consequence.
Right, yeah. Right.
Of the
you going to let your daughter stay there and let whatever happened to her, her disagreeing with her friend. When Angel brought this up, I immediately thought of two friends that are friends of my kids that will pull some shit like this.
Yeah.
Be perfectly safe, be perfectly fine. We will be bedtime, they will lay down and not used to being away from their home and waking up scared or whatever, wanting to go home. And I'm like, and that right there is why these kids will never sleep in my house. But they would pull that.
Right. And for me, I am okay with that lesson happening at 13. I was saying to Marcus, there were several times I used to spend my summers with my aunt, and my aunt never abused me. She never mistreated me. Her house was a little bit more strict than the house that I grew up in. Like, we could not go into the refrigerator at her house willy-nilly. You could not have anything to drink until you ate all of your food. And they used to put so many peas on my plate. And I do not eat peas. But I was like, okay, if I don't want to go to bed thirsty, I've got to figure out a way to shovel. I used to cover the peas in, and I said, this is how well I remember it. I used to cover those peas in ketchup to try to get them down my throat so that I could have water. So they used to have very extreme, strict rules, but nobody was mistreating me. Nobody was saying mean or awful things, and I was spending time with my cousins. After about a week, I wanted to go home pretty much every summer. Yeah. I'd be like, I need to go home because home was more comfortable. Home should be the most comfortable place. Being around my mother and my sister should be where I feel the most comfortable. But never did I ever ask my mama to come get me. One, because I knew she couldn't. It was going to be difficult. And two, at the end of the day, I knew I was okay. Like, I knew that as uncomfortable as I was getting from not being in my routine place, from not being around the people I routinely was around, from being boxed in, and that might actually be the problem. She probably had, there was probably a rule she wasn't used to experiencing and she didn't like.
Yeah. The way them kids break down when they find out they have to eat food at our table and nowhere else.
I remember my
family members, friends, all of them. They'd be like, the kids, they'd be like, I can't, why can't I take it upstairs? Because we said so. We don't let food upstairs. You sit down and eat at this table.
My lovely nephew, Micah, when he first visited us when he was younger, and I've told him, oh, no, you can't take food up out of this kitchen. And he was so confused.
Yeah, he could not comprehend.
He was like, but why? Because we said so. But I don't understand. That's okay. You don't have to understand.
That's what I said. You don't have to understand.
You go eat this food in this kitchen. So I definitely get, like, why there might be a line drawn in the sand for this woman. I think it was dumb of her to put it online.
Yeah, you can't put stuff like that online, and especially be that vague. Like somebody already said, somebody said you can't be that vague because the internet will come up with their own conclusions.
However,
because they're going to come up with their own conclusions. However, I feel like that only left it over for 30% because most people will still come up with their own conclusion, even with all the information on the internet.
Right.
Me and my cousin that we were 2-3 years apart. We used to beg to sleep over each other's house, to have sleepovers all the time. Soon as school wasn't in, I'm like, I want to stay at Brian's. I want to stay at Marcus's. And every single time, the other person wanted to go back home. Mm-hmm. Our parents ain't never come get us. Because at some point in time,
right,
we was going to get into a fight. We was going to be mad at each other and didn't want to be there no more. And they said, no, every time y'all stay, y'all going to want to leave. So we got to the point to where we need to just shut up until we not mad at each other no more.
Right.
And that's what always happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, mostly this just brings out to me the just how the internet just be on some ignorant stuff. But I agree. Like, yeah, I feel like this woman knows her child and she didn't need to go get her, and she was safe and wasn't getting abducted or her organs harvested out of her body. Cause that's where the internet literally takes it.
But that is also what I feel like is the very much so the trend, with teenagers. I see it mainly with girls, but I could be wrong. Boys might be the same way, but I don't see it as much with girls. I think because we now have so much more language to speak on our upbringing, we yeah. know the things that were traumatic or toxic or triggering. You know, we got all these terms and words. We have overcorrected in a place where we feel as though as parents that our kids should never experience any type of discomfort, and that discomfort should wait until they are adults. But then we look at these young 20-year-olds, especially the girls. The boys here's the thing, the boys have been trash. So I'm not just pointing out the girls as if there is nothing wrong, but when we think of like teenage to adult boys, they've had issues for a very long time. Yeah. These girls are now saying, hold my beer, with how much they are willing to try to bend everyone to their will and their comfort, and saying, F it all to hell with everybody else.
Yeah.
And I think it's a little bit having to do with this in the mindset that I have to make sure every situation you come in is not in conflict with your comfort, right. is not in conflict with you, what you routinely understand. I can understand that for children who have severe diagnosis that really do not have the actual like chemical makeup to process dealing with discomfort, because really? There are some that just don't. Yeah. Have it.
No, it's I've seen young adults that just, like she said, don't know how to deal with discomfort. And I'm like, we always talk about how we grew up different. You know, like, you know, they call us old heads, like, oh, this and that. It was like, because we were used to discomfort by the time we were in middle school. Like, that was just a part of life. You're gonna be uncomfortable sometimes. So like you said, then you got these 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds getting jobs. Early 30s getting jobs and, you know, graduating. They can't deal with a normal career dealing with life when things don't go their way, completely breaking down. I'm like, this is just Tuesday when I was 11. You know, like, this is nothing.
Yeah. Wendy said, talk about kids that might have anxiety or something like that. And there are some kids that are that far.
Absolutely. That definitely exists.
But there are some kids.
That's not general population. It shouldn't be general population, though.
But there are some kids that do not give their child the skill set.
Parents that don't
give their child. Sorry. Yeah. Parents that don't allow the child to develop that skill set of how to deal with that. I feel like we all, at some point in time, will have to deal with a level of angst or anxiety, because we can't predict everything and some things have high stakes. So there is a level of anxiety of, I don't know how this is going to go. And my anxiety is just a byproduct of the fear I have of this unknown piece.
Yeah.
But that is a part of life that we can't really escape if we have any aspirations or goals. If you don't have any aspirations or goals, you might be able to get through life with little to no anxiety if you're not going anywhere, sitting at home. But I do think we have, because there's been, obviously, in our lifetime, we know many people who were abused. We know many people who were sexually abused and no one came to rescue them, that have been in traumatic situations. So I think in the style of parenting, because these are the parents of these kids that are acting crazy are millennials. They are the younger Generation X, which is myself, older millennials like my husband. They
we are the parents now. We're the ones producing these insane ass products.
Yeah.
I feel like we have overcorrected in a way that is not allowing our children who are becoming young adults now to have any type of character development.
Yeah. I learned a lot of that just having Lil Marcus and the twins. It's like, it was what, probably like 2 years ago, I realized, oh, we are soft ass parents. Like, and that's when we like implemented the rule of like, cause me and Angel, we were ripping and running. This is just one example. In our house, we got four boys. They were, you know, you got, especially when school is in, you got all these chores, you got clothes, you got food we got to get for them. We got the house becoming a mess. And it's like, why are we doing all the laundry?
Right.
And doing all of this, that, and the other, and cleaning up. I'm like, I was literally, my job, when we first moved into that, they had that house built, I was 13. Twice a month, I had to literally take damp rags and clean all the baseboards in the houses. It's like 3,000, like 3,200 square foot house, upstairs and downstairs. I had to clean all the baseboards twice a month. On top of, by the time we even got to the house, by the time I was 13, there was no, like, my parents never cleaned my room past the age of 3 or 4, because I had to always, end of the day, I remember I had a tool chest, put all my tools in that chest. My brother always made the bed. Nothing could be on the floor. And I'm like, why are we straightening up for these damn 7, 8, and 9-year-old? What?
Right.
I said, no, this is our fault.
Yeah.
So now y'all do the cleaning. You do your laundry. Y'all separate the laundry and do your laundry every Friday when you get home. Y'all clean the bathrooms, empty all the trash. It ain't like we got a yard to cut like I had.
Right.
Had to cut that damn grass, weed eat, all of that. I'm like, they don't even have no outside chores.
They don't. Like, then you get the dog poop up when Lala poops. Clean the
dog poop up. Like, they about to start going on that hill cleaning up Castle's crap. Them big ass turds he be leaving. Because that's me right now. I'm like, no, y'all need to go up there and start doing that. And I'm like you said, it's us. Because everybody got old. They got learned all these keywords of triggered and this and that and be emotional and be gentle parenting. It's a bunch of bullshit. Because the world that we living in now, we don't need soft ass people.
You very right. We do like, need, we don't need soft
people.
I do. Like I said, I think it's just an overcorrection. We realized that there were a lot of things. There were some things that in our parents raising us that could have been done better. But our parents had the tools they had, and that's,
they did what they could do.
They did what they could do. I feel like, and I'm saying we so that I can just clump us in there. You know what I'm saying? Because we're all learning.
That's why I say we soft ass parents.
We have overcorrected to a point that, yes, while we should listen to our children's feelings, allow them to express it, it does not mean our reaction to it must be, now let me remove you from this so you no longer have to feel what you're feeling. No, feel it. Absolutely feel it. Now, what's next? The what's next is not always let me rescue you. Yes, I think any parent in their right mind is going in their right mind, because we know some aren't.
Yeah.
Any parent in their right mind should rescue their child from an unsafe situation or try to prevent their child from being in an unsafe situation. Right. Like we look at the Nolan Wells of it all. We know that his mother did not think her child was going into an unsafe situation. And that's the reason why there are so many more conversations happening around when your child is surrounded with non-black friends of how do you make sure that space does not become unsafe for your child, right? However, there outside of those unsafe situations, we are robbing our children of building any type of like endurance,
dependency,
perseverance.
Yeah.
We're robbing them of that, and they are becoming soft, irrational. They're not able to, they don't know how to regulate their own emotions because we're doing the regulation.
Right.
Instead of you figure out how to calm yourself down in this situation, I'm removing you from that so you no longer have those feelings.
Right. So we literally sat down and just like, I'm going to sit here and wait for you to be able to explain to me why you're crying. It's okay that you're crying, but don't try to get out words until you stop.
Right.
Now, what's wrong? I was literally telling Angel, one of our friends, I was like, I feel like they are stripping their child of so much like desperately needed independence.
Yeah.
Because they do everything for the child. I'm like, don't act shocked because our kids are making their own sandwiches and fixing their own lunch. And I'm like, this is a perfect example. It's like everybody does this hard swing. Even the, you know, grandparents is going to be grandparents. When our moms look at us crazy because we have our kids doing certain things, it was like, do you not realize you was leaving us at the house by ourselves?
By ourselves. And then
we didn't have us. I had both parents. They was both gone to work. My older brother, he was gone too. Going, doing God knows what. It was me and my sister. We cooking at the house. We at the house all day by ourselves.
My mama, I had to remind her, you know, I used to walk home by myself from elementary school. She said, when? I said, when we lived on Nepperhan. And she was like, I don't remember that. I said, you ain't got to. I do.
Our middle school was far enough away to where we couldn't catch a bus, but we had to walk. Mm-hmm. And even then, it was the last year before when I went back home, I went and drove by, took the boys over to see the house I grew up in. And I said, so this is where I live. So we started leaving the neighborhood. I said, and this is the middle school I had to walk to. They said, what? Yes, that's a long ass way. I'm walking through the hood, loose dogs, walking through thugs and gangsters and shit just to get to school, all in the same neighborhood.
Yeah, Wendy asks, does anyone allow their boys to do chores like washing dishes? That's literally the twins, one of their daily chores. They have to keep they're not that great at it, but they're not terrible. What I mean by they're not that great at it is that they forget to do it. And I have to be like, why there's so many dishes in the sink? Yeah,
my reminder was me now in trouble because I should have remembered to do it. Right. But yeah, no, they keep the dishes clean. Amar's supposed to keep the dog fed and watered. Mark is supposed to, he's actually the worst out of all of them, keep the damn trash out the house.
Yeah.
Take these dumpsters out. Yeah. Trash come tomorrow. I'm going to have to remind him today to take them dumpsters out, even after I put an alarm in his phone to remind him.
I know people are like, somebody said, hold on. Yes, overcorrected, but gentle parenting isn't being soft. We have to find that line. I would say that a lot of people
don't know what gentle parenting is either.
But I think y'all got to have a masterclass on that because a lot of people who profess to be gentle parents are the ones giving gentle parenting a bad name because they're doing a terrible job. And I've heard of many people like, no, gentle parenting is not being a pushover. Well, y'all got to teach y'all's disciples. Because I'm watching and I'm like, they're terrible spokesperson. Their children are terrible spokespersons for it as well. And I'm like, if this is not what's supposed to look like, y'all got to get together, get on the Zoom because people are missing it. And I'm like, this is not looking good. And if y'all saying this is what it is, I don't want it.
Yeah.
Y'all keep it. Get on the Zoom together.
Yeah, I need to have a conference.
And figure out what it's a conference.
Meet somewhere in the middle of the country and talk about that shit.
Yeah.
This ain't no Zoom meeting. Y'all need to see this face to face.
And find out the people who are not doing it right, that are making themselves look like pushovers, teach them what they're supposed to do. Because every time I see it, for the most part, I'm like, oh, this is terrible. This is absolutely honest to God. And I've never professed that I wanted to be gentle parent. I'm definitely not I am strict, but I'm not as punitive as my mother would. My mother, I mean, all of us got whoopings. I probably got the least amount of them. My kids have all had spankings before, but it's very rare now that they get a spanking because they have enough intellect now to understand that when I'm talking to them, and then there's punishments that I can give them that don't have to be physical that hurt just as much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, us, a lot of times, them knowing that they disappointed us is punishment enough.
Yeah.
Like, that's one thing our kids don't like, disappointing us. That was me growing up, but my dad was still strict, like he had badass kids. Like, I'm not nearly as strict as him, but I grew up with a strict dad. However, I looked at where we grew up and the way he was raised. I say this all the time, the way he was raised, I'm like, he was definitely softer than what his dad was. Yeah. From what I heard, my granddad, the one I never met, I ain't never met either of them, but mama even said, that man was a tyrant. So daddy, having that upbringing, not knowing any different. Now that we have the technology and everything, and I can understand that. Granted, I'm still kind of strict. Like, I don't like repeating myself. The only one's real bad at it right now is Amar. And it ain't the fact that, you know, the forgetting. It's just like, hey, Amar, go do this, and that. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he don't move from that tablet. That's now I'm like, I'm raising my voice, telling him to do it now. And I'll go snatch the tablet sometimes. Go do it or I will break this thing. Because you do this all the time.
Yeah.
This is just disrespectful at this point.
Yeah, I definitely... gentle parents, y'all get together, figure this out, because you got people out here that's just making y'all look bad. I be looking at y'all crazy.
Passive parenting versus gentle parenting.
Permissive.
I can't see that.
I will say this though, and people definitely probably see me as more of a drill sergeant.
It does say permissive.
Yes. I have, since my kids were babies, you know, I'm gonna be honest. So I know what I'm about to say, and it's going to sound crazy, but it is what it is. Since they were a baby, I have had a focus on them being able to self-soothe. So, like, mm-hmm. when I got rid of the pacifier early on, even though a pacifier can be used for a child to soothe themselves, obviously, but I have always been very much so, like, If I can help teach you how to soothe yourself, you're going to be able to solve problems a lot better than a lot of your friends. Because typically, if it's a situation that is not dire, if you can regulate your emotions and get clear-headed, you can get yourself out of the situation probably a little bit more smoothly than someone who is still in a bit of an erratic state because their emotions are, you know, and I'm not saying it's not rightfully so, their emotions are like really high and heavy. That's why you see a lot of times the person who is having, speaking of which, y'all say prayers to our good friend Damien. He lost his brother last week. Patreon should know who he is because he's typically in our chat. He's one of our regulars. I think about my good friend Damien in the loss of his brother. I know it's a huge loss for him. That was his brother. He's also, though, the person where a lot of the answers are having to be filtered through as far as in the funeral arrangements.
The younger brother to, on top of that.
Talking to family members and all that stuff. So he is regulating his emotions really well right now because he knows I still have to get all this stuff done. So while his emotions have a place, he understands like they might have to kind of sit right here versus right in front of me so I can make these decisions. And I notice that a lot of times with anybody who's having to make a lot of the decisions for their families, they are having, they're like, okay, let me regulate this so I can make these decisions. Not to say I'm going to ignore this. It just can't be at the forefront. Where there are people who, unfortunately, because they don't have that skill set, they can never be the person that a family can depend on. Right. They can never be the person someone can go to for help in that way specifically, because they cannot self-soothe. Go ahead.
I was at, this real quick, we got to wrap this up. We've been going for a while.
I know.
I was at work. This was not long after we moved to California. I'm at work, and I found this is we've been married what a year when granny died. I was at work when I found out my granny died. Mama called me on my cell phone. I was in the middle of something. She called me twice. I pick up. She said, "Just let you know, Mama passed away." You know, whatever time it was, I was just like, "Okay, I'm gonna call you back," because I'm at work. I have to feed a family. I had to finish up. Not the entire day. I had to finish up what I was doing, though, because it was critical that I finished what I did. And then I eventually let them know, hey, I got this call. I have to leave now. They were like, oh, okay. But I still had like an hour and a half, 2 hours of stuff that I need to finish up, because that, even though that was devastating, that was the only grandparent that I ever knew. Mm-hmm. The other was gone before I was even born. It was just like, if I'm not able to emotionally take something like that on, granted, if it was someone, you know, if it was like Angel or maybe it would have been a different response, you know, mentally, but I'm like, as devastated as I was, it was like my best friend. Mm-hmm. I'm like, let me go ahead and I have to finish this. Let me calm down, finish that, do this, do that. Hey, you all just got this call. I'm going to leave and I'll let you know about the rest of the day. That is like a product, in my opinion, that's a product of, oh, this ain't the first time I've been hit with something
right
uncomfortable, versus me losing my shit and storm and breaking down and storming out and make causing a scene. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's definitely. I think about when Melissa and Kevin were having to plan Jay's funeral, right? And make sure y'all go see Kevin on tour. Which I know I'm sure most of you all are to see Grief Sucks, because it is a really good, really good show. I got to see it when it was being workshopped, because Jay's wife, Tammy, was in an insurmountable amount of grief. And I understand that was her life partner. Wow. This has been Kevin's brother for all of his life. Kevin and Melissa had to figure out a way to take that emotion, set it over to the side, to be, soothe themselves, to be the people to get everything done, because they knew that it wasn't going to be, Tammy was not going to be able to do it. And somebody had to be able to do it. And I just feel, going back to what we were originally talking about, that we can sometimes rob our children. And I believe it starts even earlier than teenagers. We rob our children of understanding you're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Like this thing, Amar would cry every time we would come up to his school and leave.
Yeah.
And obviously I don't like my baby crying, but I also know he's okay.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to leave you, and I'm going to pick you up at the end of school. Yeah.
I expected it with Angel. I did not expect it with me.
That Amar would cry with you. Cry.
I'm talking about not like, I mean, break down crying. You are okay. You're only crying because you are uncomfortable. You want to go home with me, but you will be okay. You are in a safe environment. You can cry. It's okay. I will see you later. However, we had to have a talk with him. We will stop coming up to your school during the day if you cannot handle us leaving.
Right.
Because we can't have you breaking down. Give him 15 minutes. Apparently, he's perfectly fine.
Right.
I've actually not said I was leaving, didn't leave, go back, and he's smiling and talking to his friends. But this is like, yeah, you got to teach kids to regulate their emotions.
Yeah.
They can't just be talking to them. They got to experience shit where they have to regulate their emotions.
And this is why when I was having the conversation last night with my homegirls, I said, all of three of my older kids, if they were to call me at 3 a.m. hyperventilating, I know something really didn't went down. Like, this ain't no, they're not the type. They don't really even get to do sleepovers, but they're not the type to over-exaggerate to that extent. I said, whereas in Amar, I really can't have him be in too many situations, because he would be the type to try to call. And I'm going to be like, "What? Explain to me everything that's happening, and I'm going to realize it's nothing. He's just uncomfortable.
Yeah.
He's just wants to be with his mommy. And while that is beautiful and while that is admirable, that boy has got to start learning how to regulate himself when he is uncomfortable. It's just something he's uncomfortable and safe. And safe, because obviously safety is important. All right, guys. Hopefully you all enjoyed this longer episode. Again, special shout out to our sponsor, Hungry Root. Make sure you guys check them out. We absolutely love their services, and we know you will too. Also, again, special prayers up to our good friend Damien and the Thompson family. Please keep them in your prayers, in your thoughts as well. He's a huge part, not of only of our online community. He's an actual close friend of ours. Like this is isn't like
every special occasion that we've had. He's flown out here to be with us for.
So this is not one of our, because we all know we care about our parasocial people when they be having deaths, when they're getting ready to have a baby, all these things we care about.
Graduations, new jobs, everything.
This is not one of our parasocial friendships. This is one of our real friendships, but there might be a parasocial relationship for the people inside of our Patreon because that is how close they are. They recognize each other's names, each other's, what you call it, little thumbnails, all that stuff. So, or profile pictures. So keep the prayers going and thoughts, please. We'll see y'all next week.
Absolutely.
Again, join our Patreon for $5. You can watch us do this live, watch me do Here's the Thing live, and get a live from my husband every Wednesday.
All right, fam. Y'all have a good one.
God bless you. God keep you. Bye.